98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeals are coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wecopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wecopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
Yes, Lorenzo Alexander is here. This is it's interesting this season. Every time we've brought Lorenzo in, it's obviously after a win to talk about another game the Cardinals might win.
Yeah.
been
real good.
Yeah. How you doing, Lo?
I'm doing great. Just a good week. Cardinals won. Got my Cardinals shirt on. I was just sharing with Wolf off air that I ran into Michael Bidwell the other day. Obviously, I play for the organization.
Yeah.
But I ran into him with a Bill shirt on, with another team that I used to play for as well. And so we had some friendly banter. Michael Bidwell is one of the owners I have a lot of respect for, just the way he's able to connect with people and just messing around with them. And I was like, well, if you send me a shirt, man, I'll rep the Cardinals too. So he actually next day this to me, had a nice little note in there. And so, you know, I had to go out there, and now I'm repping the Cardinals.
Yeah, Can I just say this?
I'm jumping
right
on the bandwagon.
I've got to ask you this question because I walk into my closet, and every team I played for, I got about 5 polos for each one. You don't have the same?
I don't. I wish I did. And for me, it's because I've had a drastic weight shift throughout my career, right?
Yes.
So part of my career, I was a 2X, 3X guy. I can't fit none of that now. And even later in my career, when I was an XL guy, I'm actually down to like 225, 230 now. I need a large, you know, so I'm even out of them XL. So some of that other stuff is too baggy. You know, the kids don't wear the baggy stuff these days. It's all that European cut. You got to show off your shape.
Okay, I see. Keep it in the frame, though, like Zach Allen says.
Yeah.
Keep it in the frame.
Did you get all that fashion advice there, though, Wolf?
No, I did.
Wolf's going to come in wearing like a medium polo tomorrow, just like flexing
next.
In the hallway. I don't remember where we're going with this now. Look, so it was an impressive win last week, not only because they beat a decent Cleveland team, you know, Nick Chubb, but still a decent team. You go on the road, you win that game, that's tough. But there was the other factor thrown in there of you didn't have your head coach. You didn't have Chandler Jones, Corey Peters, Zach Allen. You didn't have a quarterback's coach either. But specifically to not have your head coach in 2021 for a game, how much does that change a team's preparation, especially when they found out relatively last second?
Yeah, well, the game plan itself had already been kind of established. Obviously, even this week when he's not able to be in the room, you have Zoom. He can actually be in there talking to guys. It's not like he's – and I don't know how sick he is because obviously COVID impacts everybody differently. So if he's on the extreme to where he cannot actually participate because the virus has made him sick, that means a little bit more than him being able to still jump on a Zoom call and still being there engaging, showing people on the board or whatnot as far as how we want to attack this team. I think it was more significant last week because he's also the offensive coordinator. He calls the plays. And so now you have to, you know, throw a young guy in there that hasn't really done it, especially on this level. That is where it was really cool to see them overcome. He got in a great rhythm. Obviously, Kyler made some great plays. That offense, they had a plan. They were attacking, you know, with that deep over route all day versus the Cleveland Browns. And they just did an excellent job of executing and not allowing that adversity. And so for me, watching this each week, right, they continue to check the boxes. This is just another box to check because every season it's about a group of men staying together and women staying together against the adversity that you're going to face. Because every team, I don't care who wins the Super Bowl or the last place team, everybody throughout the season, whether it's injuries, COVID, whether somebody does something off the field, is going to impact your team. And so how do you overcome it? And so they check that box now, like, hey, all right, good. So now when it comes up again later in the year, they prepare. So for me, I'm climbing up on the bandwagon, right? I'm climbing up there. You 6-0. They keep pointing in the right direction with the confidence.
Well, they're sending you polos, too. So
Yeah, right.
They're always as that. So talk a little bit. Do you believe that leadership can actually win a football game? Can leadership win a football game?
Leadership allows the environment to win a football game. By me being a great leader and me pointing out and leading by example doesn't necessarily mean that the person next to me is going to follow me or is good enough to be able to do it, right? What I'm asking them to do. They may not be good enough, but it at least puts the guys in the right mind frame to go out there and do their job at the highest level, because you have a guy that you respect that's asking and demanding you and pointing out something to you that you need to go do. Now, whether or not you're good enough or able to you execute during the game is something completely different.
But I think you've also seen a lot of teams that had all sorts of talent, had all the talent in the world, and
right.
You know what? They
lack.
Have leadership.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's conducive. It creates the environment, because I've also been on some great teams. We had a lot of leadership, and we were 3-13 because we didn't have the talent, right?
Yes.
So there's a balance of the two.
Yes.
I think you need leadership as a critical part of the mixture. Talent is a critical part of the
mixture.
I will
say, when
well.
I look at the Arizona Cardinals and what they did against the Cleveland Browns, I believe leadership won a game for them in that game to overcome that adversity because of the talent.
I just think they were ready to do it, because even what's the young man that ended up calling the plays? I can't think of his name right now.
Spencer Whipple.
Right? They had great confidence in him because he's been doing his job. He's been working while he was waiting, right? And so when it came time for him to call plays, he wasn't like, oh, what was going on? Because I've heard stories of him being in with the quarterbacks, understanding the game plans each week, preparing like he's going to be a coordinator, right? That's probably what his vision is. And so when the opportunity came, because of the environment that they have established that's set by Cliff, he was ready to take the reins for that. And
see,
I think that –
yeah,
right,
that's interesting.
That – there has it is conducive to it. Now, Cliff could have set that and established that, but if he didn't take on that for himself and be prepared, then maybe they don't go out there and win as well because he's not as engaged.
It's interesting that you're focusing on the coaching staff, and I'm talking more about players. I'm talking about leadership inside the locker room. I'm not talking about
it's everywhere.
I think they were ready to play.
Yeah.
They came out ready to play, man.
But I guess I'm looking at it like this, in the sense of from an offensive standpoint, because who's calling the plays? That's rhythm. You understand it, right? Like when I played, I knew what Leslie Frazier was going to call in certain situations. I had a great feel for him, and I technically could probably stand next to him and probably get 80% of his calls right, right? And so when you're dealing with Cliff, who's very hands-on and does that, that's a big shift. And so I just like the leadership that we see on the coach's side. That's why I'm focusing on it, because we always focus about the players, right? But coaching is just as important as about it. It was conducive for them to win the game. Yes, Kyler Murray and Hop and all those boys went out there and balled out and executed the game plan. But I guarantee you, if the assistant coach came out there and looked scared, didn't feel like he was prepared, they would have felt that, and I don't know if they would have played as well.
All right, we come back. What should the Cardinals' strategy be for the Texans this weekend, and should we be worried about it potentially being a trap game? The Lowdown continues. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys. He's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wecopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wecopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
Just saw one of the quotes from J.J. Watt today after practice, because obviously they're asking about playing his former team, and paraphrasing a little bit, but one of the quotes that he had was, I don't think I'm going to forget who to tackle. So I feel like J.J. Watt's probably ready for he's been ready for a lot of these games. Zoe is here. Zoe, you got I just noticed this too. You got your own headset. You've taken it. You're showing us up over here. We got these tiny microphones.
No. I had this last week too.
Yeah, I know. I didn't bring
thing.
It up.
Well, you know, they COVID. You got to bring your own thing. I don't really like the chair mic ratio in here, so I'm a little bit of a prima donna. So I just said, let me be able to lean back, not have to worry about keeping my mouth close to another mic.
It's brilliant.
Now I'm good.
So wait a minute. You had that last week as well.
I did. Okay. Yeah, I brought it in last week as well. You know, from the house, hey, you got to bring your own stuff to work, just like I did when I played. Bring my meals, you know, bring the things that I need. And this is making me be able to be a little bit better at my job.
See, was I here last
right
week?
You were. Yeah, you were. I know. It's just real, you know, smooth. Unplug it, throw it on. You don't even notice.
Once again, I can tell you, you know, my powers of observation are not Sherlockian, obviously.
Oh, okay.
But Luke, I'm embarrassed for you.
Well, yeah, don't turn this around on me. I just didn't have time to bring it up.
He has a screen right in front of him. Oh, yeah, you can't really see me all the time.
That's right.
Me and you make great eye contact.
That's right.
Luke,
true.
You know?
And it took an hour and a half before I realized, wait a minute, because this is how it hit me. Zoe's not even anywhere near the mic, and I can still hear him crystal clear.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, he actually has like a professional headset. Here, I want to play this clip of Kyler Murray talking about the potential of this being a trap game on Sunday.
Just because, I mean, I view every game as, you know, is this their own, you know. Obviously, you know, their record is what people are looking at as a trap game and stuff like that. But I say it every week, it's the NFL. They got players, we got players, and we got to go out there and give them our best shot on Sunday. And I think we got to prepare that way throughout the week. And if we do that, then there shouldn't be a worry as far as trap game. If we get beat, we get beat, but we gave them our best shot. So that's how I see it.
He's said a couple times this season, Zoe, that he doesn't believe in trap games. And I don't know. I mean, I believe Kyler Murray when he's saying that he's not just I believe that's the way he thinks. I don't think he's just saying that for effect.
Right.
But at the same time, we have seen a lot of times in the NFL a really good team go play a much weaker team and then lose.
Well, that's collectively. You got to be able to get every guy on the team to believe it's not a trap game. You know, it's cool if one guy, you know, you like that your leadership doesn't believe it's a trap game, because then that's going to, you know, imprint that same thought process on everybody on the roster. But for me, I don't think it's going to be a trap game. You know, last year I would have said, yeah, watch out, watch out. I don't know. But for me, they've already checked this box really twice. Think about Jacksonville going down there against them. Not a very good team. Go out there. Obviously, it was a tighter game, but they got control and they won it. And the game last year, they probably lose. Think about the 49ers, which is obviously it's a divisional game. It's a little bit different, but they're starting a rookie quarterback. So you might just go out there. It's a tougher game, but they find a way to win, right? To JJ's point, what he says, you know, they're just better. Just overall, leadership, players, the way they're playing the games right now. And so if they just continue with that same mindset, it really doesn't matter who walks out there in front of them. They're in a just a different aura right now as far as how they're playing football. And I don't see that them letting down, especially, you know, here.
The best thing you could be as a football player, I think, though, is a guy that thinks like what Kyler Murray is saying. Now, it's one thing to think it and another thing to do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're going to think it and you're going to say it the way Kyler is, you also have to go out and you've got to do it as well. And to your point, you need everybody to do it. You need the collective and not the individual to think that way. But for me, I can tell you, and I know you will be shaking your head because you'll understand my plight, but for me, it was so easy to go out there and treat every game the same because I had to, right? I mean, I had no luxury of being able to. Trap game? What are you talking about? Right. A trap game?
I got a job.
Every game is a trap game, you know, for me. And yet, at the same time, I totally understand what is being said here. I hope that is the attitude that is permeating that locker room. And I get the feeling just watching these guys and listening to some of the things they're saying and some of the things that people are telling me off the air, so to speak. This is a team that has great leadership and is starting to gel inside that locker room.
Yeah, and I'm loving it.
Do you think there's so much made of like, okay, we played a clip before you got in here of Vance Joseph, and they were asking him like, okay, you know, I don't want J.J. Watt or DeAndre Hopkins to try and do too much because they're facing their former team. But I do wonder if this is almost the perfect storm. Like you alluded to earlier, it's not only do you have your quarterback saying, I don't believe in trap games, you're playing Houston at home. That's got to help keep the focus. J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins, one guy on each side of the football, has maybe extra motivations, not the right phrasing, but they don't want to let their team lose to Houston after having just played there in Watt's case just last season, you know?
Right.
So I do wonder if having those two guys if that helps kind of guard against that, and also the fact they're on both sides of the football, it kind of spreads it out.
Yeah, I just think who their leadership is, as far, when you think about J.J. for sure. And the way J.J. left was much different than the way Hop left, right? J.J. left talking to management, hey, can you let me out? I want to win. I know you guys are going in a different direction. Hop was traded, boom, for nothing, yeah. Right? So, and then obviously the issues he had with the head coach at the time, just different. So I definitely know Hop is coming with everything this week, right? J.J. is as well, just because of who he is. And so I guess even though it's a different perspective, they both help to that, to speak to your point of not allowing guys to kind of just walk through this game or walk through this week without being up mentally and physically and spiritually to go out there and do their job.
So if you were the Arizona Cardinals and you were playing the Houston Texans, I don't know how much you've actually been able to see them on right. tape. I can tell you, when I watch him, I see a lot of me's.
Yeah.
That's what I like to say. I see a lot of guys that belong in the NFL, are football players. They're going to give you everything they got. They're scrappy. They're just not very talented.
Yeah, and that means everything. Like we were just talking about earlier, when we think about, you know, when you're making a team, yes, you can have a whole bunch of try-hard guys, but if you don't have the talent to go out there and actually win the matchups.
Right.
The effort doesn't matter, right? You got to have some talent behind it. And then if you just have all these talented dudes but really no discipline, you can find yourself on the losing end too. And so yep. you have to have a mixture, especially at this elite level, of leadership, talent, effort in order to consistently win. And if you're missing, especially on the talent side, you're going to be in the same situation as the Houston Texans.
Is there any way you would approach this game, I mean, offensively, defensively, strategically, schematically, is there any way you would approach this game in particular?
No, to your point, I haven't watched a lot of the Texans quite yet.
Nobody has.
That's hard. That is right, so yeah. hard.
It's
that's,
true.
That's just but
they'd probably prefer it that way this
cold.
Year.
You know, obviously this week they'll go through the film. They'll identify what the Texans don't do well, which is probably a lot because a lot of people score on them. They, you know, they can't stop anybody. But you just have to go out there and then execute that game plan. And so it's just about the mindset. It's not necessarily what you do. To your point, when you talk about, it's about how you do it.
Yes.
And as long as they do it up to their standard, they're going to win the game. And that's, at the end of the day, really what you want to focus on with a week like this when you're playing an inferior opponent.
You referenced that Jacksonville game earlier, too. I mean, now you have that because that game was kind of disjointed in the first half.
Right.
And it did feel like the Cardinals, I know you can't always do this, but it felt like they kind of looked around in the third quarter and just flipped the switch and realized if we play our game for 20 minutes, that's enough to beat this team. I have to think that's the same against Houston.
Yeah,
if you get put in that position.
That pick six didn't hurt them either.
No,
you know,
that
by Byron Murray. That helped
yeah.
big time to get them back in the game.
You go get a pick six and
this
we'll come
time,
back.
This time, you don't even want to put yourself in that position, right? You want to come out, be consistent. Obviously, you're going to have lows. You know, the saying goes, they get paid too, so they're going to have some possessions where they stop you. But collectively throughout the game, you want to establish dominance early, maintain it, and then not even allow it to be a game. It should be one of those games where you look up and it's, you know, 30-0. 30-7, and it's not even a game. You know, the fans are just out there just having a good time, partying yeah. in the stands, waiting for the clock to hit 00.
What is the biggest difference you see with the Arizona Cardinals this year as opposed to last year?
The ebbs and flows, right, of the team, the consistency. And I was talking to somebody the other day about just an individual player and how you become consistently good in this league is, right, you have your highs and you have your lows. And if you can bring those things closer together by keeping your highs high and bring those lows up, right, you limit the opportunity for you to have failure. And that's what I've really seen with this team collectively. Like, they have their moments where it's like, man, what's going on? But they figure it out pretty quickly, right? And then those lows aren't like, my gosh, what are they doing this week? Why is this guy not playing? They've eliminated that. And so they're a more consistent football team, a better football team. So their ceiling is much higher and their floor is much higher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you are able to raise both of those at the same time, you're going to be on the winning end more so than not. And obviously they're still undefeated. And so that has been the biggest thing for me. Obviously, you can point to Kyler and the way he's playing. Obviously, he's an MVP candidate and all those things. But collectively as a football team, just seeing that growth has been really cool to watch and really fun. And that's why I keep saying, you know, I'm climbing further up on the bandwagon because they keep checking the boxes.
Give me the baton.
Yeah. I think if you're a former player, you can just get on the bandwagon whenever
you
want.
Can you just jump on it if you played for them?
If you played for the team,
I don't know how
yeah.
fandom works. Now, I just don't. I know I'm kind of weird. I don't know how it works. I've never really been one.
It's like, and Wolf, I'm sure, can relate to this. When you're waiting in line to get into a club, you know, as Wolf often is, if you played on the team, you get to go right to the front of the line.
Oh, okay.
So you're fine.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I just make it sure. You know, I don't want nobody, you know, to accuse me of anything.
No, we'll make sure you get the rules right here. All right. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, how might the DeAndre situation impact the locker room for the Suns? We will ask Lorenzo Alexander next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
A blue collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wecopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wecopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
All right, we're going to flip over here to basketball for a little bit. The Suns, of course, started their season last night. Came up short against the Nuggets, 110-98. Up next, they get the Lakers in L.A. tomorrow night. But, Zoe, the last time we had you in here, there was still a chance DeAndre Ayton might get that extension. The deadline came and passed on Monday. And in addition to him not getting the extension, his teammate, Mikal Bridges, did get an extension. Right. Not a max, but it got an extension. They paid Landry Shamet. I mean, they paid and took care of everything they wanted to do this offseason except getting DA extended.
Right.
So I guess let's just start there. I know it's a different sport, but if you were a teammate of somebody in that situation, how do you make sure that doesn't become a distraction for them or for the team at all over the course of a season when you have a chance to win a title?
Right. Yeah, it really comes to the veteran leadership. You know, Chris Paul, you think about Book, Crowder, right? Guys that have been in the league for a while that can speak to him about it and just make it. It's not, you know, and it's in the crazy thing about sports is that there's a blend of personal and business, right? Which is the hardest thing, at least for me, to separate the two, because you'll hear coaches and James Jones even said it, right? It's not reflective of our commitment and our, you know, our love for you as a player, right? But at the same time, well, if you're not reflecting of the max deal, it is reflective of what you think about me, right?
Yeah.
And so, but it's business. And so it's really hard to work through that internally sometimes as a player, and you have to rely on guys that have been there, been in that process, have seen it from other guys. And so that's why, you know, hey, CP, man, what is this? What does this mean? What do I need to do? Hopefully he's taking that mentality of it, because you can go the other way and just say, well, you don't think I'm a max, I'm going to be gone. But the unique thing that's different from football is that the most money he can ever get is still with this team, right?
Yeah.
So it's not the same regard where I'm just going to do and then get out. Y'all disrespect me. He still, at the end of the day, can still get the big deal from this team. And so just go to work, put your head down, continue to improve on the things. And the biggest thing that everybody's going to say is what D actually said, hey, only thing I can worry about is controlling what I can control. And the biggest thing right now is, are you controlling that every day, right? That's the biggest question.
Does he believe that, right?
That's the biggest question. Because let's be honest, if he was a guy that had the CP3 mentality, or D-Book mentality, and grinded, and not grind to what he thinks is a grinding, but grinding to a level that's elite, you know, Hall of Fame, that type of grinding, he would have a max deal.
Yeah.
And so I can look at it from a lot of different perspectives. And so that's the way he should, if he wants to get his deal, because he's obviously a great talent, has the ability. Now you got to put the work in and put the naysayers, especially there in the building, as far as your consistency of controlling the controllables, your effort, attitude, and the way you show up every game in action.
Yeah. Chris Paul said you got to control what you can control, and that's how you go out and hoop. Basically, that was his advice to DeAndre Ayton right there. put yourself in DA's position last night. Would you have been hyped for that game? Would you have been locked in, do you think, for that game? I know everybody's different. Yeah, would you have been hyped?
You know me and you cut from the same cloth.
Yeah,
man.
You hear the rejoin every time.
You know,
we start
man.
To
say, hey, okay, man, I'd have been out there just going hard. I just can't help myself. And I've been in situations to where I thought I was worth more money than the team was willing to give me. But at the end of the day, after I've gone through that process and we ended up wherever we ended up, it was about me going out there and representing, obviously, myself and helping my teammates get to the ultimate goal of winning the championship. All that other stuff, I just forgot about. It's not like I was rushing the passer third down and like, man, them dudes didn't give me that extra $50,000 I was asking for. I mean, I don't know how anybody's built like that.
Well, you did have incentives in that contract.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't understand how anybody is thinking about that. When you step across the lines, whatever game you're playing, you got to be all locked in. I mean, because your job is to go out there and dominate, right?
Don't make it about the money.
Yes, it doesn't become about that. We've done that. We're past that.
Yep.
Obviously, I didn't get what I wanted, and now I'm about to control what I know I'm going to get in the future, right? He still has the ability to do that. So my mindset would have been all about that. But that's just the way I'm wired. I know everybody's wired a little bit differently. That's just the way how I approach life and everything.
Is it weird? And I don't think it would be this way with the Suns, but like, I'm with you. Chris Paul can go talk to him and say, hey, you know, do this. Let's talk some sense. Devin Booker can. All these guys can. But, I mean, in a worst-case scenario, can't DeAndre Ayton look at all them and be like, yeah, it's easy for you to say you got paid and you got paid and everybody else in this room got paid? I mean, you can take
– they got paid for a reason, though, right?
Yeah.
Because they have a certain consistency, work ethic that they put all together. And so it's not – they're just giving you advice. I'm not telling you how to feel, but I'm giving you perspective. And then you can take that for what it is. But hopefully because it's coming from a guy like CP3 or Book that really cares for you, right? They're not the ones writing the deals.
Yeah.
So let me look at and hear what they have to say, and maybe that can help me change my perspective and see it. Because a lot of times in life, and I don't care, you know, whatever you're doing, we can be our own worst enemies and we want something, but we're blind to whatever's holding us back. And those guys, because they know you the best, you know they care for you, they have an outside perspective and like, hey, man, I know you want this, but this is how you can get it and then maintain it and change the perspective or, you know, whatever's being said about you during this time and why you didn't get it.
I'm really surprised at the relative silence, for the most part, of his teammates in this situation. You know, I am surprised with that.
Yeah.
That there isn't more pushback coming from his teammates. I think, you know, if somebody told me and nobody, again, once again, this is just my thought right here. Nobody's telling me this. But if somebody told me that Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Monty Williams and James Jones was, if they were all on the same page on this, I would not be shocked at all if that were the case.
And I guess the NBA is a little bit different. It's more player driven. But I mean, I've never known guys to get another guy's contract issue outside of, hey, man, I love DA, what he brings, and this is what he's capable of doing, right? Not like, hey, give him the max and telling the organization what to do. But NBA is different. Because you got guys that recruit and get guys in, you know, a la, you know, LeBron and what he's been able to do with the Lakers. So I know the dynamic is different, but you hope that he gets what he wants because you can see every day and his want to and his intentionality and where he wants to be. But I've never been a part of an organization, and like again, football is different, where a guy actually gets in the conversation and say, hey, organization, pay this dude.
Yeah.
It feels dangerous.
The NBA is different.
Yeah. Yeah, and the NBA, but the NBA is much different. And I wouldn't say that those guys are necessarily – their silence means that they're aligned with Monty and James Jones and the organization either. It's a real gray area to be in, right? They want these guys to get paid, but at the same time, you don't want to create – that's creating almost another distraction if you add on to it. So, you know, in this case, I support him, right? CP3 gave him some words of wisdom, some advice, and we're going to push forward. But I'm not going to publicly state where you should be doing organizationally because that's just adding on top of already paid.
I just think a lot of anger, too. I'm just trying to put myself into Chris Paul's shoes or Devin Booker, where you got to the NBA Finals and he helped you get there. DA was a huge reason why you were there.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when you look at the postseason.
Right.
And now all of a sudden you're going to do, how dare you do this?
He's still on the team though.
And they understand.
Yeah, and they still can pay him. I mean, it's not – you can't – I mean, I guess it is disrespectful in a sense, but it's also a business. And I think if you have a perspective of this is how organizations work, one thing that I won't allow people to control my emotions is because especially when I know how people operate, right? You can't look around the other league. People don't always give you what you want. And that, and knowing that, that's how organizations – they always want to get you cheaper than what you are. Yeah. That's just how – that's any negotiations, right? Working here. If I go to try to say, hey, instead of giving me $75 an hour, can I get $150 an hour? They're going to push back on me. Even though I'm really good, people like listening to me, right? But I understand the dynamic of a negotiation, so I'm not going to get upset and mad at what they're trying to do their job too, right? And so that's how you have to approach it, because once you start putting energy and effort into something that is – how it works, you take that energy away from the things you can control because you're focused on something that you can't, and that's where you end up losing it. And so that's how you do. Because if you do your job, eventually somebody's going to say, "Well, we want him. Oh, well, I guess we got to pay him now."
Yeah.
And that's just how you know it tends to work in a negotiation. You got to have some leverage points, and right now DA doesn't have them the way he would like to have them. He's just hoping that they would give him something based on the relationship and what he's done on the court.
Coming up, Jordan Hicks' role with the Cardinals continues to expand. We'll explain next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys. He's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wekopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wekopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
Well, there was a time not that long ago, I don't know, like 6-7 weeks ago, when there was talk that Jordan Hicks might not be playing very much for the Cardinals. He definitely wasn't starting. Now he's playing pretty much every snap, and he's apparently recruiting people here, too. This is Zach Ertz from yesterday.
I mean, obviously, Hicksy and I were kind of in similar situations this offseason, just with everything going on, kind of mirrored, which was ironic because we were roommates in Philly on the road. I was in his wedding. And so once he knew he was going to be here and there was a possibility that I could get out of Philly or was going to get out of Philly, it was a full court press. He would call me every day, like, bro, is it going to get done? Is it going to get done? I said, I think so. And then finally, when I knew it was going to get done, I called him, and he was just so happy. We went out to dinner last night together. Took like an hour off of studying the playbook to get out and go to dinner with him and his wife. So I'm so glad he's here still. It's a phenomenal football player. He's had a phenomenal start to the season. And he's a great leader. And so I'm pumped he's here, but he did recruit me hard.
So I want to get into Ertz here in just a second, and I'm not even saying that Zach Ertz is here because of Jordan Hicks. I mean, obviously, he would like to have him here, and they've won a Super Bowl together. Right. But I mean, from where we were a month and a half ago talking about Hicks and how Zaven Collins was already named the starter and all that stuff, for him to do what he's done, be named a captain, and he basically is playing every down in these games on defense. Yeah. I mean, that says a lot about him, not just as a football player, but just character-wise.
Yeah, again, he didn't allow the situation to determine who he was going to be as a person, as a football player, right? Because, I mean, he went through training camp and earned captaincy. It's not like he played these 6 weeks. Then he said, oh, man, you're playing really good. Let me give you that C.
Yeah.
Even when the situation wasn't lining up the way he thought it should be, right, based on what he's done in this league and his ability, getting the opportunity, them drafting somebody to replace him, he still went to work and controlled the controllables. And look where it is put him at, right? He's on a 6-0 team. He's a captain, middle linebacker, playing at a very high level right now, right? And that's because every day he showed up to work and said, well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to put the pressure on you guys to have to play me. And he's taking a full advantage of it.
Yeah.
I love that, Zoe, because once again, we know that football is the ultimate meritocracy.
Yeah.
It is. You go out and you do.
Right.
You go out and you play. And you get, based on what you do and what you say and how you play, you go ahead and you get paid and you get compensated for doing that.
Right. And let's remember, he did all this. I'm sorry to cut you off. He did all this while training Zaven Collins to replace him, right?
Yes, that's weird.
That, you know what I mean? that's the crazy part about it.
The best player plays.
Yes, and that's the beauty of it too. It's like, man, I'm confident in who I am. I know what I got.
Yeah.
And I'm good enough to where I'm gonna still help you. Hey, I want you to do well too, but I'm about to get mine.
On that note right there, what have you seen from Zaven Collins so far?
He's growing. He's starting to make more plays. He's starting to show up more, right? And that's what you can really love, you know.
He's physical, isn't he?
Oh yeah, I mean that's who he is. He loves to be. If he could run downhill and run through guards all game, that's what he would do. But I like to see him in space. I see him getting better there, better angles when he's running to the ball, a more intentionality about running to the ball sideline to sideline, a better awareness of coverage and where he needs to be. In relation to route concepts. And so things are starting to pick up. You know, obviously I'm always keep harping on the fundamentals of the hands, and he still needs to continue to work on that just because this is one of my things, because I know what is going to allow him to become. But he's growing, understanding, and that's what you want. And I know, you know, Vance Joseph and the defense, like, thank goodness Jordan is here to allow this process to happen naturally and not have to expose this young man early and break his confidence, because he also seems like he's a very passionate player and cares about what people see and think about him as a player, right? Mm-hmm. And if he was put in a situation, especially on a team that's just good, that where he wasn't able to produce on that, it might have been more harmful for him initially to become the player who he is. So it worked out great. And a lot of that is kudos to Jordan for being the professional he is, because he could have just sat back and went, well, you be you, I'm going to be me, and just kind of be a guy over here, and I'm gonna show you. You're going to get to see what that rookie looked like out there, right? But he didn't do that.
Yeah, it's true. Instead of letting Zaven go out there and fail and getting the snaps that way, he just took the snaps, basically.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have faced Zach Ertz. You certainly have faced guys like Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'm pretty sure I've played him.
Yeah.
But I wasn't good enough to guard him. So it didn't even matter, you know.
Well, there was a good stretch there where nobody was good enough to guard him.
Well, he couldn't block me, though. I'll say that. He definitely can't block me in the run game. I'll put that out there in the week. So I didn't guard him one-on-one, man-on-man. Hey. I don't have him, but in that run game, baby.
Yeah.
Not a
one
shot.
Thing I want to see. I want to see him be scrappy at the point of attack, man. Please be scrappy.
Yeah, and that's all you got to be, right? You don't have to be.
Correct.
You don't have to be Kittle. You don't have to knock a dude 10 yards off the ball. But veterans, what they learn how to do, I play with guys like Chris Cooley, who used to play for the Washington football team back in the day.
I know.
Wasn't
who
a
is.
Big guy, but very crafty. Get inside, grab you, tug you, where it wouldn't be a holding call. Use angles, use your momentum against you. Just do little different things just to create enough room for the running back to be able to get through the hole. And so if he's able to develop that or has that in his game, I haven't watched a lot of him in his blocking game. If he's able to have that, and then what he's able to do in the passing game, he can definitely replace Max Williams as best as he can, even though we love Max and what he's able to do from that physical standpoint, which I think the Cardinals are going to miss the most over the, you know, over the course of the rest of the season.
I guarantee you, you're going to get asked questions about what you saw from Zach Ertz blocking this week, next week from Brad. He's been talking about it for 3 days, so just get ready for that. He's really been talking about it for a week.
Just try, man, and that's what I'm told. He cares. He tries.
And that's half of it. Even when you have these receivers block, if they just get in the way.
Yeah.
And the running backs, the way they've been running, Chase Edmonds, Connors, when you think about they've been running physical downhill, dudes aren't going to make arm tackles with them. Just be in the way, be on your guy, running your feet. And you'll get 4 or 5 yards and have a solid block.
Zo, good stuff as always, man.
Thanks for coming in.
Yep. Anytime, guys.
I feel left out. I'm the only one not wearing a Cardinals polo. I got to talk to Michael Bidwell. He doesn't know who I am, though. All right. We'll come back. It's Wolf and Down Your Lunch is next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.